Well, good morning. We still have people coming in. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of bribery because I don't see any children sitting in the front row. There's still lots of seats up here. And I'm thinking, for those who want to stand up to say the verses a little bit later, may have the first pick at some of these stuff. I don't know, we don't have these in Canada called dum-dums. I kind of like the name. I don't know why they call that. Any more younger one would like to sit up here? I got another 5-6 seats up here. You don't have to. I will promise not to bite. Okay, while you're deciding, let's begin by singing a hymn. Anyone would like to start off with a hymn? Okay. Hymn number 46. Oh, I like this hymn. It's short, but it helps us to spell, doesn't it? Hymn number 46 at the back of our hymn sheet. Glati I close our eyes. We'll ask the Lord Jesus for help before we start. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks again this morning for thy love toward us. We thank thee for this little hour where we can have the privilege once more of telling forth the story of thy love, telling forth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save me, that he came to save sinners like me. This morning we look to thee and we pray if there be any boys or girls here who are still lost. And we know too that many older ones, young people, adults, seniors who are listening in and perhaps some are still lost. We do pray that thou would work in their heart and conscience too. So we commit this meeting now into thine hand, giving thanks for the privilege in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Another hymn. Oh, I'll let you think about which one. Can I pick one? Is it okay for someone like me pick one? I like to pick one. Hymn number 42. Now, this one, some of you may have heard me use this before. I like to change this hymn a little bit. It's a short hymn. I like to sing it around twice because as we look around the room, it's not just little ones. We got medium-sized one, we got older one. So as we sing this hymn, we'll sing it the way it is the first time around. The second time around, we're going to change a couple of words. We're going to sing a little child of 70. I'm quite sure there's some here either close to that age or are at that age. They're still a little child of God, aren't they? So we're going to sing a little child of 70 or even 34. You know anyone that's 34? I think there are a few of 34 here. So we'll just change those two the second time around. Would that be okay? All right.
A little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open
A little child of 7. So how old do you have to be to receive the Lord Jesus? How old? Any age? Is he right? Any age? I think you're right. What if someone is 70 years old? Is that old, by the way? Is that old? You know, I used to think 70 was old. I don't think that anymore. I think they're pretty young. So for someone 70 years young, it took them 70 years to realize that Jesus died for him as well, or her. Is that too late? But what if you're only 3? Who's 3 here? I guess a 3-year-old doesn't know enough to put the hand up, right? Or 4? Is that too young to be saved? No. Well, wait a minute. Is it difficult to be saved? No. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I told someone this story last night, and I thought it'd be a nice story to tell even to the children. Now, I met a man one day, actually. I have to go see him for some repair work. And someone told me his name is Muhammad Ali. So as I go see this man, I thought, okay, I will be meeting this little Muslim man. And when I got into his shop, I noticed he got pictures of doves. And I go, I thought the only Christians use dove to signify the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, Muslims use that too. And then I saw on his wall, in his office, he had a little text on there. It said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I go, wow, I know Muslims use the Bible sometimes to quote and often misquote. I said, this man really have it well. After talking to him for a little bit, I find out he's a Christian. He has been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked, and then I asked him a very silly question. I said, Muhammad, how were you saved? Have you ever asked people that question? And Muhammad looked at me with a straight face and a simple answer. He said, by grace, of course. I felt kind of silly, but I thought, what a wonderful answer. For by grace are ye saved, isn't it? Anything we can do? No, it's not of works. Why is that? Because if it's anything I can do, I'm going to brag about it. If I have to walk around the block 95,000 times and say, I did it, then it's my work, isn't it? So the Word of God said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, it is by grace. Whether ye be 3 or whether ye be 4, the grace of God have saved you. Let's have another hymn. Anyone else? If you have a chance to think about what hymn you would like to sing, would you have one that you like? No? Do I have to pick another one? Oh, I missed someone. Okay. Since no one else. Hymn number 6. Do you know what it is? That is a lovely hymn. Hymn number 6. Perhaps we'll sing the first and the last verse. Is that okay? Okay, that's a long hymn. Hymn number 6. Oh, it tells the story. Really, this is the Sunday school story. This is the gospel story. God, it all begins with God. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. That's the gospel, isn't it? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was crucified just for me. I was a sinner. Jesus died. God in mercy sent his Son. many of you learned a Sunday school verse? That's nice. You know, I know this is difficult because for me, I was always afraid to stand up and say my verses. You know, I used to sit there and go, uh-oh, there is two more. Then it's my turn. And I used to get very nervous. And then when I stand up, I can't say it. Anyone feel that? Feel like that? And some of the young people sitting in the back would probably go, phew, you don't make me say those verses anymore. But I hope you still learn it. And I know many of you learned it at home very well too. So if you don't feel like you want to stand up and say it, you can say it to your mom and dad, and I have to take your word for it. And if you did learn it, see, we brought some dum-dums. Who would like to say the verse for me and get to be the first to choose? No one? Okay. Do I see any? Oh, did you put your hand up? No? Okay. You know, it's bad sometimes people point fingers, right? And you can't tell who's pointing the finger. Okay, then let's read that verse together. Would that be good? I believe it's in Luke's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. See, it's okay. A lot of the grown-up don't know the verse neither. See how they are turning to it so they can tell what it is? So, we learn this together. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Let me read it through first. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Okay, let's say it together. Okay, ready? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Wow. There were joy with the angels. Is that right? Is that what it said? I don't think so. Can angels show joy? No. I think the better translation said before the angels. So when a sinner, even one sinner repented, there is joy before the angels in heaven. Isn't that wonderful that God loves us, that even one little boy or one little girl or a 70-year-old boy, oh, there's joy in the presence of God or in heaven. Now, I'm going to need some volunteer because I don't know who really learned it or didn't. Would I have a volunteer to help me pass this out to those who learned the verse? You again? Okay, well, no one else seems to like to volunteer. Is it your grandpa who put you up to this? You help me to find a boy or girl that deserve to get one. Anyway, we have more. Okay? You think they... Okay. Now, while we're doing that, let's choose another hymn. Who has another hymn they like to sing together with us? Maybe we'll ask the bigger boy, bigger girl in the middle row or the back row. Anyone else? If you're 34 or 70, you qualify. No? Okay, Tim.
44.
Hymn number 44. Oh, here's another old favorite hymn about a gypsy boy. Hymn number 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again,
is interesting. Thank you for giving this hymn out, because I have a thought, a couple of words to share with you this morning. They're big words. And I was sort of thinking about the gypsy boy. Do you think a gypsy would stand out? If you were to see a gypsy boy, would you think, you say, there's the gypsy boy? I think so, eh? There's something about a gypsy. Now, that's not my thought today, but it's a word. A word I hope you remember. We're just going to talk mainly of two words. Because sometimes I've been accused of talking about too many things. Two words. First word, peculiar. Is that a big word? What does he mean by peculiar? I think the gypsy boy is kind of peculiar. You know, we use that phrase often, and often I find a lot of words we use often, we don't really know what it means, and we can't explain it. So I looked it up in the dictionary. Sometimes it's good to do that, huh? It's a peculiar. Looks different. It's not normal. I go, okay, why does the Word of God tell us that? Now, it's interesting, by the way, for some of the little bit older ones, you search through Scripture, the word peculiar is mentioned 7 times. Twice in Deuteronomy, twice in the New Testament. Interesting, eh? The book of the wilderness scene, it talks of peculiar, but only, I believe, once, maybe twice, it used the phrase peculiar people. Isn't that interesting? Some of us are, well, I trust that most of us here are peculiar. Let me just read the verse first. Let's go to Titus. Is that 1 Titus or 2 Titus? No, there's only one book, right? Book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 together. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, now notice the word here, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Isn't that interesting? We have a blessed hope. We look forward to the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then it reminds us here that we have been redeemed. And we're going to be peculiar people unto himself. Now, let me turn to one more verse. I believe it's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry, I lost my thought there. Maybe someone can help me that. In Peter there, that talk about, oh yes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, some of you may have a Bible that have a little margin on it. And if you notice, margin has a word to replace this word peculiar in this particular chapter. And if you look at it, it'll say purchased. We're purchased people. I think Mr. Darby used the phrase possessed people, possessed by our blessed God and our Father. So we are peculiar. When someone is peculiar, they stand out, don't they? Oops. If I were to do this and put this on coming into meeting, Do I look a bit peculiar? But there's always a reason for doing things that are peculiar, doesn't it? And especially if I turn the light on. And start flashing. Is that peculiar? Do I look different? Just a minute now. Maybe I feel I still don't stand out enough. So, you notice I wore something different. I had a jacket on this morning. You find this shirt is peculiar? My wife said to me, "You have it inside out." I go, "No, that's the way they do it." It's kind of interesting too, because sometimes people do things more peculiar for reasons. So if I were to put these candies away, notice I don't have any side pocket, so I have to reach to the back, and I put it into my back pocket here. Why is that? You say, that's peculiar. And you say, well, maybe it's not peculiar enough. So I thought, well, if I come in and do this, you're really going to say, wow. Now, by the way, I kept my shorts off. So you're not going to really think, I didn't want to embarrass. I think my wife and my children would be very embarrassed if I were to put that on as well. Then you go, wow, why? Well, if it's so bad, why do people dress differently? There's a reason, isn't there? If I dress this way, what do you think I plan to do? Mr. Dablin, no. Ride a bicycle, yeah. I need to be protected with my head. Now, by the way, it's interesting you think about a helmet. You notice there's a red flashing light on there? No, we are told to be the light of this world, but sometimes we do this. Why do you think I chose a red light on there? Why? Yeah, I'm saying, look, I'm a light. Back off. I don't want you to come near me. I won't feel safe, especially if you're a car. But down here in the United States, they drive big cars. They like the SUVs. And when you're on your bicycle, you put a light on and say, back off. Stay as far away from me as possible. So sometimes we say, well, we do what the Word of God tells us. We're a light. But now we have to look again and think, well, what kind of light are we? Are we turning a light on and say, oh, you need to back off? Or are we going to be, because we're peculiar people, are we going to put a light on so bright that when you shine, even though out of all darkness, you'll go, wow, interesting, isn't it? So we are peculiar. But when we are peculiar, we do it for a reason. Now, I know Mr. Dablin knows all this because he used to bike a lot. And you do things for a reason, you stand out. By the way, they call bikers. If you know people bike a lot, they have certain characteristics. Just like Christians, if we are light for the world, we have characteristics. Most cyclists have farmer's tan because they always wear the sweater or the bike shirt. And they don't have a full tan like some of you who tan on the beach all the time. And you can see they wear shorts, and you can tell the tan line is different. And they always wear socks, so they never tan the feet on it. It stands out. They wear clothing that are what they call moisture wicking. So you can be all soaking wet, but it doesn't cling to your skin. So you say, well, they're peculiar. Well, they do it for a reason. Well, why did we put a pocket in the back? Well, we're peculiar because when someone rides a bike, well, you don't want something on your side. So you can ride your bike with something behind you. It's much easier, isn't it, than have something bouncing back and forth when you're rotating back and forth. Oops. Peculiar. But peculiar for a reason, because we have a different mission. And when you have a different mission, you do things. In fact, I'll show you a couple more things. What are these? What do you think these are? Or is? Actually, I have two of them. I don't just wear one. What is it? Sneakers. Look like sneakers, eh? Well, you know, people that are peculiar, they wear different kind of sneakers. He's laughing because he knows he probably have two or three pairs. You know, how many of you will go buy sneakers that don't bend? See this? It won't bend. It's not very good, is it? You want sneakers that flexes, don't you? Well, this one doesn't bend. And you pay extra for that. But why? Because for who people, why? That's right. Wow. You must have some of these. I bet your grandpa spoiled you rotten. Huh? That's right. Because the purpose is not walking when you're cycling. You don't, in fact, if you ever watch a cyclist walk with these on, they look like they have flip-flops on. They go clop, clop because they can't bend their feet when they walk. Then you know what else is different on this? What's under the shoes here? You put metal under your shoes? Yeah. Yeah, they call the SPD. Am I right? SPD? Shimoni Pedaling Dynamics? Well, see, it's interesting because when you want to be different, well, you're hoping to be better. And for old people like me, for me to keep up with grandchildren, I need every bit of help possible. So these things lock onto your pedals so you can't slip. And you can apply more force to it, even force, is better. So you're fitting yourselves for something better. But when someone else look at you and go, he's peculiar. In fact, I'll tell you something that's even funnier. How many of you have fallen off your bicycle before? Oh, yeah. You believe I tell you, I just recently fell off my bike 4 times in a row? Silly, eh? Now, you see, when you wear these shoes, you lock yourself to the pedal. When you stop, and if you forget to unlock this, you can't stick your foot out. And I'll tell you, this is one of the most helpless feeling, that all you can see is you're going to fall, your feet are tied, and you just fall over. And people standing on the sidewalk will look at you and go, what's wrong with this guy? And the bad thing is, until you learn it, it's like, guess what? We're slow learners. You get back on the bike, you ride a few blocks, you stop again, and you go, uh-oh. That's how we learn, isn't it? But you know, when people learn to use this, they can ride a cycle faster, better, because, here, I'll sidetrack a little bit, because when you ride your bike, it's not efficient. You push down, and you push down, and you push down. With this, you push down while your other foot lifts. So you're doing a circular motion. You build your quad, you build your muscles all around. Well, what does that have to do with us in Sunday school? This is not a cycling lesson. I'd like to turn to another verse. 2 Timothy. Oh, before we go to that. So do you remember the word we just learned? What was that big word we learned? Anybody remember? We forget already. With the P word? Peculiar. Now, don't look around at your friends there, okay? I know you'll find someone that you think look peculiar, because we all look peculiar. But not only peculiar, we are peculiar people. Because we're God's people. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I know you know these verses. And I learned these verses when I was really young. And I still, every time I read it, I learn something new. I'll start with verse 15. You could look at verse 15 too. It tells Timothy that how even when he was a child. And by the way, that is why we should learn verses when we're younger, right? From a child, you have learned the Holy Scripture. But in verse 16, it tells us all Scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It tells us what the scripture is for, but then it says, why do we need it? That the man of God, how many boys and girls here would like to be the man of God? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Does anybody have Mr. Darby translation with them handy? Can you read for me verse 17 in Mr. Darby's translation? If I can equip this.
That the man of God may be complete, fully fitted to every good work.
Thank you. I was looking at another word here. The word is fitted. It's interesting, we talk about those cyclists. They fit themselves with various gears and accessories, things that they think would make them better. But here, it said that we would be, now, King James translation used the word perfect, but I like the other word, complete. Isn't that interesting? But how can we be complete? We need to be fitted properly. You know, maybe for the ladies here, you think a fitting usually is clothes, right? Especially a wedding coming up, you go, I need to get fitted properly. But there are many things that we need to be fitted so that we can be complete, so that when we can be, become what? The man of God, or the woman of God. We're the people of God. We need to learn to be complete so that we can do good works for Him. How do we get fitted properly? Do we go to a bike shop? No. And He tells us, what do we have in our hands? Some people say the Bible. I like the way it's written. Scripture. It's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This is from God to us. Do we value this? What can it do for you? It fits you properly so you can be complete. Look at what it does. It said, it's profitable for doctrine. Okay, I said two words, so not to worry about this word, but you learned that, right? The first word was, what was that again? What was that? Peculiar. That's right, peculiar people. Now the second word is fitted. We need to be fitted properly to be complete, to do the good works of God. And here it tells us, it's good for doctrines. Maybe the easy way to think of that. It's good for teaching. Yesterday, Brother Tim reminded us, the sound teaching, we need to know that. We need to rightly divide the Word of God. So it's good for teaching or doctrines. And, it says, for reproof. What is reproof? But reproof is an interesting word. Reproof really means to correct someone. If someone says something not properly, now, there's a difference with reproof and rebuke. If I'm going to rebuke you, I'm going to lay it in and scream at you and yell at you and telling how wrong you are. If you look it up in the dictionary, definition of reproof is correction gently. We have to correct someone for teaching so they'll learn. Not to scold them to tell them how wrong they are. And now, not just for the children, I speak to the older ones too. How often do we fail? We say, you said that wrong. We feel so good that I'm right and you're wrong. We let them have it. That's not reproof, brethren. So, Word of God is good for reproof, for correction. We need to be corrected often, don't we? And for instruction in righteousness. You see how we need to be fitted in all these according and by the Word of God that we can learn the proper teaching. We can learn how to correct people properly, gently, nicely, so that they would learn more about the Word of God. And we learn instruction through righteousness so we can be complete as the man of God fitted. But we have time for one or maybe two more hymns. Oh, before we sing, what were the two words again? Fitted. And? I can't think. Peculiar. That's right. Is that what you're thinking of? Peculiar people. All right. I'll give you a few seconds to think. Any hymns? Okay, Tommy. You pointing at which one?
40.
Hymn number 40. Okay. The five verses, but I think it's worth singing the all five verses here. You know, let me tell you a quick story on this. This hymn is so well known. We used to go and visit a place called Seton House. And Peter Blair may remember that. It's a place where when men who are what we call down and under, they have no more home, and most of them have some sort of addictions. In fact, they don't even want to live. All they want is to get high. And it's a place where they can stay short term. And short term for some could be years. And we used to go down and preach the gospel, and we will sing, we will ask these men what hymn. And this hymn, Jesus Loves Me, always turned out to be a favorite. And when you talk to these men, they could be down and out, but they remember them when they were younger. They learn this hymn, Jesus Loves Me. And they still bring comfort to many souls. So as we sing this hymn, we'll think about how many in this world know the gospel of God's grace by simply singing this hymn. Jesus loves me, this I know. In a large room like this, we got a little problem. See, when you're standing in the middle, you hear things differently. Even though I forgot my hearing aid, I can still hear part of it. And some of you going to school learn that the speed of sound only go at about 600-700 miles an hour. Well, for sound to travel from the very back room to the other side, actually take a fraction of a second. And often we wait for the other side to hear what they sing and try to match it. And then if you really listen to it, we're singing at 2 or 3 different speed. It doesn't sound very harmonious. So try not to, okay, listen a little bit, and you can see, because we tend to slow down more and more, and you have 2 or 3, and the larger the crowd, the more difficult it is. So let's see if we can try to listen, but yet knowing that, by the time I heard what they sang, it's already half a second behind, we may have to speed it up a bit. Let's see if we can do a better job this time with the 2 verses remaining. Ready?
Jesus loves me, loves me
sound any different? Nicer. No, that's the other peculiar things about us, isn't it? We don't seem to sing very well sometimes, but we can. So remember, we as redeemed one, we are redeemed, we are peculiar people. Yes, the world is going to see you differently. Do you want to blend in just like the rest of the world so they don't notice the difference? You could. But what does the Word of God remind us? We are peculiar. We are His, and we have the privilege of being a light for Him. We have the privilege to present the gospel of God's grace. And I'll share one more thing with you. We are told to preach the gospel, speaking especially now to young people. You will find never in the Word of God said, you're responsible for any result. Isn't it nice that we can do the job and not worry the result, so we can preach? So let's close in prayer. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks once again this morning. We thank Thee that we are peculiar people unto Thee. And now we look to Thee and we commit this day into Thine hand. We think of many children here. We do pray that Thou will continue to help them, teach them, and surely we are all children before Thee. So we think of how another hymn writer would pen those words, oh, teach us more of Thy blessed ways. And if Thou still tarry, in a short moment, we thank Thee that we shall have the privilege of remembering our blessed Lord Jesus in His death for us. So we look to Thee now. We commit this day into Thine hand, giving Thee our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.